All right. Welcome, everyone, to our Sunday afternoon question and answer time. If you have a question, please feel free to raise your hand, or if you have a comment, you're welcome to share, and I'll try to respond as much as possible, as much as I'm able, by going to the Bible. And the Bible is the Word of God, and it is where we find answers to our questions, if God is pleased to give them. And if He's not, well, then we have to wait on Him patiently, and we can't force Him to tell us something if it's His for His own good reasons. He's not revealing it. Okay, let's go to Michael, who I think has a question from Pal Talk. Please, go ahead.
Babylon the Great is Fallen asks, why wait for a physical kingdom? God teaches in John 3, verse 3, that only those born by His Spirit can see His kingdom, spiritual Jerusalem / Zion, that came down from heaven and is ruling in this world, the new heaven and earth.
Well, is that just a comment? I don't think he has a question, does he?
Well, the question is, why wait for a physical kingdom?
Well, when we're saved, it's true that we're translated out of the kingdom of this world and into the kingdom of God's dear Son. It tells us that in Colossians, in chapter 1, verse 13, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. So we're spiritually seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, and He's seated in the kingdom. We have citizenship in the kingdom of heaven. All this is true, and we're a part of that kingdom, yet the Bible also speaks of the kingdom to come, and that is the bringing in of the eternal kingdom of God, the new heaven and new earth, and bringing the believers in the fullness of their salvation into that kingdom. That's a different thing, and of course we want that. Of course we desire that, and it's wonderful if God has translated us through salvation into the kingdom in a spiritual sense, but He's promised much more, and it's only the desire He has placed within us to want Him to finish His salvation plan and to complete His overall salvation. You know, Christ is salvation. And when He came the first time, Simeon said, mine eyes have seen mine salvation, the salvation of the Lord. Well, when He comes the second time, He is salvation still, and He will bring the salvation of our bodies. Our bodies are in sin. They're dying, just like our souls were dead. And it's just as right to desire the salvation of our body as it would be to desire the salvation of our soul. It's a earnest, it's a legitimate desire. And when Christ comes, we are looking for salvation still, the completion of God's overall salvation plan. But thank you for that verse. And let's go to the next person. Welcome to our question and answer today.
Hi, Chris. My question is in reference to last Sunday's study. I believe I have the right verse. I'm looking at 1 Peter and chapter, first chapter, you had said that, I think in verse 5, it says, who are kept by the power of God. And you had said, I think that this is having been kept. And I think that's the word you were mentioning, having been kept.
Mm-hmm.
But I was just trying to understand, this is already a past tense. It's already done, kept. And I was wondering, why do you want to say having been kept? It's almost like adding a past tense to a word that's already a past in past tense.
Oh, yeah, I understand what you're saying. Well, we would want to translate it that way because that's the way the word should be translated. Who, having been kept by the power of God. Now, when it just adds a little bit more information that this is an action that has been accomplished in the past and God has performed, and we know it relates to eternity past, before the foundation of the world. And it's just simply how the word should be translated. Now, when you say who are kept by the power of God, that it involves more of a present understanding, even though it's like God kept us yesterday and he kept us last year. But the word, when we translate it correctly, having been kept, then we see how, yes, he is maintaining the keeping of his elect even up until today, but this has been, this act of keeping has been going on for even before time began.
So are you also saying that this is the way the Greek word wants to be or needs to be translated?
Yes. Yes. So you can look at Jay Green's Interlinear, and he translates it correctly. But you can also, sometimes we're not grammar students. We don't know all that much, but we can see how God uses words and look at the ending of this particular word and compare it with the ending of the words in, Matthew 16, verse 19. Because Greek words, when tenses change their endings change. And if you look at the endings of the words loose and bound in Matthew 16:19, where I'm sure you've heard Mr. Camping point out that it should have been translated there. And let me read the verse. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Now, again, bound is a past tense word, but it actually should be translated shall having been bound. It when you translate it that way, it just shows that there's more of a prior action involved. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And that should be translated having been loosed in heaven. So the ending to these two Greek words is very similar to the ending to the word kept in 1 Peter.
Oh, thank you so much for that, Chris. I appreciate it. You have a wonderful Lord's Day.
Okay, thank you for the good question. Let's go to the next person. Welcome to our question and answer.
Bonson 17:2 asks a revelation about. He's asking about Revelation 1 verse 7. As he says, Revelation 1 verse 7, behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see. He, with the word see, mentions, I think it's Strong's Greek number 3700 hymn, and they also, and he says, C is unique here as show self. Can you explain this?
I'm sorry, what's that last part? C is unique as what?
As show self, like, I think show thyself, or show self, or...
Oh, that
sure.
Is the question that word indicates that he will actually appear? And, well, maybe, let me just say that here where it says he cometh with the clouds and every eye shall see him, that we have a very similar verse that helps us to understand what God is saying in Matthew 24 and verse 64. Oh, no. Matthew, I'm sorry. I think I got that. Maybe it's Matthew 26. Yeah, it's Matthew 26, 64. And I'll begin reading in verse 63. But Jesus held his peace, and the high priest answered and said unto him, I adjure thee by the living God that thou tell us whether thou be the Christ, the Son of God. Jesus saith unto him, Thou hast said, nevertheless, I say unto you, hereafter shall ye see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. Then the high priest rent his clothes, saying, He has spoken blasphemy. And you see here, it's speaking of the high priest seeing the Son of Man, first of all, sitting on the right hand of power, and then coming in the clouds of heaven, and there is no indication of any kind in the Bible that the high priest ever saw these things with his physical eyes. So it must be a spiritual fulfillment to what Christ is saying about coming in the clouds of heaven, that the high priest would see. Now remember also, in John 1, verse 51, where Jesus said, And he saith unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Hereafter ye shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Did anyone ever see heaven open and angels literally ascending and descending upon the Son of Man? And the answer is no. That the angels here is a reference to messengers, believers. And when someone becomes saved, they're exalted into the heavens to be seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, and then dispatched, where they have been historically, into the world to carry the gospel message as a messenger of God. That is, when God saves someone, they don't go anywhere, but in their soul, in a spiritual sense, they're in Christ now, and so they've gone into heaven with him, but they now must carry out the task of sharing the gospel on earth. And yet, look at how God describes that, how that takes place using spiritual language. He says, well, you'll see heaven open, you'll see angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man, and it seems to have no relationship with simply someone becoming saved, and then after their salvation, they have a desire to witness to others. That's simply what it's saying, and will people see that? Have people seen, or did Nathaniel and the disciples see angels descending and descending upon the Son of Man? Yes, in the fulfillment of that spiritually, they did. They saw people become saved and then want to follow Christ. So we have to be very careful when we read the language, like we read in Revelation 1, verse 7, Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him. And it does not mean that people will see him with their physical eyes when we see how God uses this type of language. But thank you for that verse and your question. And I think we have another question from Pal Talk. Let's go back to Michael.
Yes. Lindsay 1132 asks, can you read 1 John chapter 3, verses 20 and 21, and comment on them, please?
1 John 3, 20 and 21 says, for if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. Well, the heart here, it could be a synonym. I haven't looked up this word recently, but it could be a synonym of the heart, mind, and soul. And therefore, if our thinking, if our mind is condemning us, like for instance, we have sinned. And we know we've sinned. We know also, a believer should not have done this kind of thing. Like David, when he sinned with Bathsheba and had Uriah the Hittite slain, he more than likely looked at himself, and we see through Psalm 51, even though God inspired him and moved him to write that, still it expressed his feelings and his thoughts. Where he just cries out that he is guilty. He is guilty, and he cries to God, create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. That is, save me, because his heart was condemning him. And yet God had saved him. There's all sorts of evidence that he had already been saved before those sins. So in certain cases, I mean, sometimes if our heart is condemning us, it's correct. We see all the evidence and we can just recognize and agree with the Word of God that we are guilty. And so we, like the publican, say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And yet on occasion, it's also true. And I think someone like David could sin and their heart just condemns them. You are unsaved. You are not saved. You are under God's wrath. And yet they are a child of God. And so that's why it says God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things, because that would be known to God. And then it goes on to say, beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. And this heart would be the new heart that God has given us, the new spirit that God has placed within us because we are saved. In other words, in our heart, meaning our thinking, we could condemn ourselves based on from our sins, and we could say, I'm not saved, but in actuality, God did save us, and therefore that new heart he gave us does not condemn us. In other words, our sins are forgiven, even that sin that we're so troubled by. But thank you for bringing up these verses. And, well, we have another question from Pal Talk, but this will be our last one today. So let's go to Michael again.
Echo 2011 asks, has everything in the Bible been completely fulfilled?
Well, no. No, the Bible speaks of the destruction of this world, and it speaks of God creating a new heaven and new earth, and it actually gives us a vivid illustration. It pictures, it shows us the believers dwelling with God in heaven and forevermore. So there's many things in the Bible that have not been fulfilled. And also there must be information about this present time we're in, more information that we're not yet aware of. Because God has us here still, and so we have things to learn. But thank you for that question. I would like to thank everyone for sharing your questions and your comments and for joining with us today. Please keep in mind tomorrow and each night of the week, beginning at 9 p.m. Eastern until 9:30, we'll have a half-hour Bible study Monday through Friday, and you can join us the same way you joined us today, or on Friday, I'm going to say good afternoon, and may you have an excellent Lord's Day the rest of the day, and Lord willing, we'll see you later.